Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app, available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We were talking, we've been talking about, and really spending some time with dealing with mental anguish and mental things. And so we talked about last week, the problem with fear and anxiety is that it drains us of strength. We need strength to live life. We need strength to function. And fear and anxiety can paralyze us sometimes or just drain us of strength. And so we begin to talk about God's plan to counter anxiety. I'm going to recap again just quickly because I believe that there's a plan here that looks like it takes a different route, but it's important to get. So this is Philippians. We're going to go back to the first part of that, Philippians 4, 4 through 5. This is New King James. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, we talked last week about rejoicing as a choice, but it's not a feeling, and that we can identify as a person who rejoices. And I won't jump all into that. Identity is powerful, how you identify, what you identify as. You know, there's a lot of talk. I hear people talk now, and people say things like, well, I'm just broken, and I can't be fixed. And there's a mentality out there with a lot of people that, and maybe a counselor has told you that, maybe someone has told you that, maybe someone in your life has told you that you're not fixable. And that's not true. There was a missionary a number of years ago in the Philippines who had purchased a silver money clip. There's an area in the Philippines that where they have a lot of craftsmen, and they make beautiful silver pieces. So he had a money clip. He carried it for about 20-some years, and it broke one day. When he was back in the area of this town, he went back to the place where he had purchased it, and he had it in two pieces, and he walked in. There was a middle-aged guy there, and he handed him the money clip. He said, I purchased this here, he said, and it broke. And the man took it, and he looked at it, and he went, this is my design. I made this. And the missionary looked at him. He said, well, can you fix it? And the man looked at him and said, I designed it. I created it. Of course I can fix it. God designed you. He created you. He can fix you. Amen. And so so part of the thinking that we have to get rid of is that I am stuck in a situation and I can't get out. If you've ever been, and maybe I grew up in a family of worriers. My mom was a worrier. We'll talk about that tonight. If you grew up in that, it kind of becomes a thing. She was a worrier. She learned from one of the best. Her mom could worry. And you pass stuff down. How many of you realize Morse caught and taught? You catch a lot of things. If you ever find yourself saying some of the very same thing your parents, have you ever done that? Find yourself saying some of the very same thing your parents said, and you're like, what am I saying? What? Praise God. Morse caught and taught. So we talked about becoming a rejoicer, and here's the thing about rejoicing. It is not a feeling, it's a choice. But when you rejoice, it shifts our focus to the Lord. Psalms 34, 1 through 3 said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. The idea behind this is not just a nice saying. It's something that as you begin to rejoice, it begins to shift our focus over from the problem to the answer. And here's the deal. Don't wait for a feeling. Just go ahead and rejoice anyway. If you have some music, you can put it on. If that helps you, it helps me, and it helps me rejoice. So become a rejoicer. Then we talked about something last week. You guys loved it. So let's talk about being gracious to the people around you. Gracious means not harsh, kindness, warm courtesy, merciful, compassionate, identifies as being a gracious person. And here's the thing, we're accountable to the Lord. We represent Him. And so being gracious to people that you say, well, they don't deserve it. Yeah, I know none of us deserved it, but we're gracious anyway. And so you say, well, why does that have anything to do with anxiety? Because the thing about it is we're trying to get answers from the Lord. You can't treat people wrong and be right here. You can't be ugly and mean to people and then expect to get blessed. I remember one time being a part of conference, and it was cold outside, and we had to wait outside for them to open the doors. This is in Oklahoma. And they opened the doors, and people almost trampled each other going down to get a seat in the front. And I'm just going to tell you right now, you ain't going to get blessed that way. You run over someone to get close to the front so you can sit there? Mm-mm. No. And so being gracious is part of the thing, how we treat people. You say, why? Because our overcoming fear and anxiety is directly tied to our confidence in the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a passage here. Just stay with me. They put it up there. It's longer than I expected. Guys, I'm going to start with my little children. Let me go over there. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is John writing. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. I'm going to take us way back now. Some of you just got out of there, but high school. Anybody remember being in high school and you would get called to the principal's office? Some of you lived there. I can remember they used to call over the intercom. We had intercoms, and I don't know if they have intercom. This was right after they invented the telephone, guys. Just work with me. It was an intercom, and they would call, and they would say, Mrs. Woodruff, would you please send Alan to the office? And everyone would go, what? Ooh. Ooh, yeah, it's not a woo, it's a ooh. But I can remember getting up, and if I had done nothing wrong, I went to the office like, hey, what do they got? I'm like, yo, what's going on? Maybe I was involved in student council, so maybe they had something to share with me. I'm just walking in. If I had messed up, you don't go that way. You go like, it's the walk of death. You're like, oh. The thing about it is, when your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence with God. Now, have you ever, I know you have, so just bear with me. This is a rhetorical question. Have you ever messed up and you didn't want to even pray about it? You made a mistake and you know. And how many of you know someone say, well, have I sinned? You know. It's you know it in your heart. You know it. And you're like, oh. You ever just not going to lie, I don't even want to talk to the Lord about it. He already knows. So the best thing to do is do what it says in 1 John. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we go and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it. And then we receive forgiveness, whether you feel like it or not. And then we'll get back in right standing. So being confident in our relationship with the Lord is a real key to dealing with fear. When your heart is condemning you, get it right, because that gives us the confidence then to begin to deal. Because when I'm good with God, I'm good to go. When you know in your heart, man, we're good with the Lord. That's why condemnation is such a problem. Condemnation is a confidence and courage killer. It will kill your courage. It will kill your confidence. And so if you've messed up, please don't just wallow in it. Get out of it. go to the Lord and go, Lord, I'm sorry. He is faithful. He is just. He will forgive you and cleanse you. And then you go, I'm going to stop this. Because you want to stay in a position where you know in your heart you have confidence with God. And boy, that's a great place to be. So let's talk now about the other side of this, the action plan of the process or the practice, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. So we're rejoicing, right? Man, you guys were slow on the woo on that. You know that. We're rejoicing. We're gracious. It says, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's key words there. Anxious for, but in. How about, no, just the big things. It says everything. Because have you ever heard people say this? Maybe you said it. Well, you know, I can handle the little things. I'll give the Lord the big things. Well, Sparky, why don't you give him everything? It says, by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Yeah, that's the key. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's talk about that just a little bit. It's a great verse, great promise. So, there was a song, remember that song that came out a few years ago? Don't worry. It was a catchy song. Bogus, but it was catchy. I mean, I got a better one. Don't worry, be praying. We're going to pray. Supplication means you're making your request, your needs known to God. You're asking God for his help, and then you're thanking him. Now, why are you thanking him? Because you believe he heard, and you believe he's helping. You know, I was kind of running through something in my mind, going over and over again with something. I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. You ever have a problem, you just run it. It just loops. You finish it, then it loops again. Then it loops again. You have to stop and go, whoa. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, I don't have to have all the answers if I know I have God's help. So what happens is mentally, we want to figure everything out. How is this going to work? How is this going to go down? How am I going to handle this? What are they going to do? Can you go with that? Just over and over and over and over. And it just stopped me. Wait a minute. I don't have to figure all that out. If I know I have God's help, I can stop right there. That's a faith thing. So I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, I need help with this area. I need to know what to do. I need your wisdom. Lord, I've got a situation. It is a problem. I'm asking you for help. Thank you that you heard me. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's where thanksgiving comes in great. Because you'll take 10 steps and have that same worry jump on you again. This is a practice. You have to get good at this. So you'll pray about it. And then, now here's, you don't just want to worry in God's presence. You want to pray and give it to him. And then when you walk away, a lot of times you have that same thought come to you. Y'all looking at me strange. Have you ever had that? You pray and you give something to the Lord, and then you feel like you just took it back again. And you're like, okay, do I need to pray the whole? No, what I do, and here's what you do. Here's where thanksgiving comes in. So I prayed, I've given it to the Lord. I said, Lord, here's my situation. And then the thought would come and I go, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've got that. Thank you that you've got it, Lord, thank you. And with thanksgiving, I start to, it helps me break that loop that I can get going in again, where that thought keeps running through and through and through my head. You ever have that? Mm-hmm. We have to break the pattern. So I'll start thanking God. Lord, thank you that you've got that. Thank you. Thank you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now here, listen. This is where sometimes people feel like, okay, peace. I need peace. I need to have peace. Peace is more of a sensing than a feeling. John 14. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When God said his peace he gives, he said not as the world gives. How does the world give peace? The world gives peace with everything being calm. Nothing going on, no conflict, no angst. I hear people say, I have peace. I go away on vacation, maybe go to the mountains, maybe go to the beach. I like the beach. Go to the beach, stick your toes in the sand. You just relax. I said, I just feel peace. But then you don't live there. And you got to come back. Anybody ever get down like the day you know you got to come back? You're like, I'm coming back. Here it comes. No, his peace. He said, I don't give you peace like the world gives. The world gives everything being calm. The peace of God, you can have the peace of God with all hell breaking loose all around you. That is a sensing on the inside where you just sense peace. You'll catch yourself sometime going, I don't know why I have peace, but I have peace. I don't know. You ever said that? I just don't. Man, I have no idea why I have peace right now. But I'm just, well, thank you, Lord. I have peace. It is more of a sensing than a feeling. We've got to get over this idea of everything is a feeling. Everything is not a feeling. We walk by faith, not by feelings. And so we're thanking God. Sometimes you can have all kinds of feelings, but you can have a sensing on the inside, it's going to be all right. There's peace here. And that's where we live. So this is a practice. So we ask God for help. We're thanking him for peace. And then here's a surprising connection to peace. It's actually humility. 1 Peter. This is one of those, it connects another way. You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. I need to do a sermon on that sometime. Clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may squash you in due time. I miss that. That he may exalt you in due time. And here, and this is connected to casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's an element of humility that says, God, I'm not trying to bear all this myself. You care for me. I'm going to give my cares to you. There's humility there. Humility says, I don't have everything. I trust God's greater. I trust he can handle my problems better than I can. I still have responsibility. I mean, I've heard people say, my kids are in trouble. I just gave them all to the Lord. I'm not doing anything. No, you still have to parent your children. You can't give them to the Lord. No. But I can give the care of it. I can give the worry of it. I can give the anxiety of it to him because he cares for us. And so that's an element of humility. Again, I've heard people say, well, I can handle, you know, God gave me a brain and God gave me something so I can handle things. Yeah, he did. He gave you a brain big enough to realize he's bigger than you are. And so you can trust him with these things. And yes, you still have a responsibility, but we can give those things to him and we can handle them. Now we're going to get to the tough part. You say, oh, no. Thought you were already in the tough part. No, we're going to get to the tough part. Here's the additional thing. It's in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, that's moral excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That word finally is actually means in addition to. So we've asked God to help us. We've given him care. We said, Lord, I need your help with this. We're thanking him for that. We thank him for his peace. Thought may come back. Good. No, Lord, thank you. I've given that to you. Thank you. Thank you that you're helping me. He said, now in addition, we're going to have to think on the right things. We're going to have to begin to filter our thoughts. Now, the thing about it is a lot of times we haven't been raised to challenge thoughts. We've been raised to think, well, that's just who I am. This is who I am. No, your thoughts are not who you are. They're thoughts that you have. and you can actually begin to redirect and reframe your thoughts. Now, here's the filter. What things are true? Depends on what's truth to you. Have you ever heard people say, well, this is my truth? It might be your experience, might be your feelings. There is a higher truth. It's God's Word. And so the more you begin to know about your Bible, the more you begin to recognize, hey, God says something different than maybe some of my thoughts. Here's the thought that a lot of people have sometimes. I'm all alone in this, and there is no one to help me. I just feel like, man, I got no help. I've got no help. No one will help me. Now, that may be your experience. That might be what you're going through. You might be all by yourself. Might be a single person. You're all by yourself. And I get it. But there is a higher truth. Hebrews 13. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a higher truth than I'm all by myself and I have no help. And so you say, well, so when you begin to have those thoughts of I'm all by myself and there's no help, if here's the filter, wait a minute, is that true? No. Lord, you said you would never leave me and you would never forsake me. You are my helper. I can boldly say that. The Lord is my helper. Instead of talking about how lonely you are, why don't you talk about the Lord is your helper? Did you catch that? Because that's a higher level truth. And so we start filtering thoughts. That means you're gonna have to challenge some thoughts, and that's where it gets. Next week I'm gonna talk about biblical meditation. Because it's powerful. But we have to challenge those thoughts. Now, he gave us a list, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely. So you think, okay, is it true? Well, how about this one? Someone has done something to you that was unkind and uncalled for. You go, well, Alan, he did something to me that was unkind and uncalled for. That's true. Is that true? True. You can't deny that. That's true. But you thinking about them crashing and burning, you thinking about revenge, you thinking about getting back, getting even, watching them go down in flames, it's not pure and lovely and no good report. It's where we live, guys. But here's the thing. Those thoughts, they might feel good for a little bit, but they're going to wear you down. Thinking about getting revenge on somebody. Think about, really, would you really like to watch them crash and burn? I mean, and Lord knows, don't be praying for that. Kill them, Lord, in Jesus' name. No, don't do that. It's not a good one. Not a good prayer. The Lord's not going to look at that and go, oh, okay, I got it. So we're starting to filter thoughts. You've prayed. You've taken the worry of something. You've given it over to the Lord. And now you're going to have, this is where the Bible calls this a battle. The biggest battle, I've heard people talk about spiritual warfare. You know what the biggest spiritual warfare we have? Right here. That's the biggest spiritual warfare. I mean, you're thinking spiritual warfare, and I grew up in the day, man, people were doing spiritual warfare. They would go to the top of buildings to pray because the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Listen, the biggest spiritual warfare you're going to deal with are the thoughts you have to deal with in your own mind. And so learning to take those thoughts and what the Bible calls casting down imaginations and every high thing. We'll see if I got time to go to that. The thought filter, yeah. The bigger picture, pulling down the mental strongholds. So go ahead, let's go ahead and take a look at that, and then we'll talk more about that next week when we talk about meditation. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. Though we walk in the flesh, that means we're down here. We don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare. Notice how they keep talking about warfare. are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing. The word arguments is also called imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what I'm saying, that's where the challenge is. The biggest challenge you're going to have is beginning to deal with thoughts that are wrong. You know, having scriptural basis for what you do is how you begin to change thoughts. I'll just give you an example for us. We started the church. We were over there in a roller rink. It used to be Conroe Roller Rink. And when we started the church, at the end of every service, I would do an altar call. Saw that at Lakewood. And if you want to receive Jesus, come down to the front. And so people would come down to the front. We would pray. There was a guy that we actually rented the building from. His name was Jim Sebastian. Jim couldn't stand me when he met me. No idea why, but he could not stand me. He didn't like preachers, but he decided to rent the building to me. And every now and then, his wife is precious, Carolyn Sebastian. She would bring Jim, and Jim would sit in the back and slip out. Man, he was out quick. He's out quicker than some of you guys. He's just quick. He's out. And Jim caught me one day, and he said, "Alan, I prayed that prayer." He prayed the yes prayer. He looked at me, he goes, "I'm not walking that aisle." And I had a conflict. Did Jim really get saved? And then I began to realize, do you realize that walking an aisle is not a prerequisite for salvation? The Bible said if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and walk the aisle. No. It said if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved. And so I realized, wait a minute. People were making two decisions. They were making a decision, am I going to receive Jesus? And then do I have the guts to walk the aisle? When we stopped that, and I just said, hey, you raise your hand. The number of hands and decisions we had tripled. And I realized my thinking was wrong. And I had to adjust it. Here's the good news, bad news. Good news is we can adjust our thinking. We can actually begin to train how we think differently, our default patterns, because all of us have default patterns of thinking. Things we just normally just easily slide into. And it's just like you button your shirt the same way. It's a mental habit. We all have them. But the good news is we can change them. And the great news is with God's word, we can really change them. Science right now is really starting to dig into the brain and the things that are going on in the brain and neural patterns. And what science is doing is actually catching up with what God has been saying all along, that where our lives are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And God's word can renew our mind better than anything else. You can take positive things, but we got positive with powerful because we've got God's word on it, and we can actually begin to change the way we think. And when we begin to change the way we think, the results in our life are different. And things are different. This is why I started with this. You may have thought for a long time, you can't be fixed. Our whole family's messed up. I came from a messed up family. My family dysfunctional. There's dysfunction that goes back for generations. But it doesn't have to go forward for generations. If you can begin to change the way you think and approach things and begin to go, you know what? With God's help, by the grace of God, we're going to have a godly home and a godly family. And this dysfunction is going to stop because I'm part of a brand new family. But you're going to have to think differently. Amen. You can sit in church year after year. If you don't change your thinking, it won't change your life. Now, I know that's sobering. You say, well, that means I don't need to come to church. No, you need to come to church. Because it will help you. And if you can take it, and next week we're going to talk about how do we begin to take God's word and put it into our life. so that it transforms us. Does it help anybody tonight? Did you get anything? Good. Okay. Good. Listen. Okay, so Alan, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand mine. I live with anxiety. I live with depression for years. And I can tell you that you can come free from it. I can tell you that anxiety doesn't plague me. I used to have panic attacks that were bad. And so I understand the feeling, but I can tell you this, there is freedom in Christ. Amen. I used to live, I had a whole depression, I came from a family that lived in depression. And I used to live in depression. And I hate that. And it impacted my family, but I got good news for you. It can change and you can come out of it. And so, I got a lot of confidence because I know what God's Word can do and I know what it's done for me. So let me just encourage you. Don't stay with me here, because I really believe there's some answers here. But here's the deal. Answers are a process that we have to be involved in. We're new creations in Christ, but we still have some work to do. And the work is on our minds. Will you bow your head for a moment? Heavenly Father, thank you for those who are here, those who are watching online. Lord, I thank you that you love them, care for them, and never have ever wanted them to live in anxiety in their mind and fear and depression and all the junk that's in this world. Thank you that you have given us weapons where we can change that. We give you all the praise for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening or you're watching online, you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure I do. Or maybe I did at one time and I've gotten away from him. And I know in my heart I really need to come back. That's you tonight. Either one of those situations, if that's you tonight, we're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. You don't have to walk an aisle. But I am going to ask you to do one thing, just for your own sake. If that's you tonight and you want our prayers, would you just acknowledge that by lifting your hand? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. Yes, sir. Got you. In the front, in the back, all around. Anybody else? Great. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to, you can still join us. This is a heart thing. We're going to pray with you. If you're online, I can't see you, but you can pray this prayer. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family in here. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Heads still bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you, Father, for the power of the new birth and the change that takes place in our hearts. Thank you for that. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for freedom. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.